To help support this podcast
and get exclusive bonus content and rewards,
make a monthly pledge at
patreon.com/universebox.
And remember to think outside.
I am the spirit of the goat.
Welcome to Legends of Gotham, where we talk about Fox's hit series Gotham, set in the world of Batman. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeSimone.
Who are you?
I'm Anne-Marie DeSimone.
Yes, you are. And we're back with a spoiler party,
spoilers!
As we like to call them. A very serial. We're taking it very serial. Spoiler party here at our usual time, Tuesdays, 8:30 p.m. EST at live.universebox.com with our chat. Right now we have Wynn and Bobby, but we're hopeful some more Gothamites might show up here eventually.
Where are you guys?
But we're here to talk about all of the news from Comic-Con, all the casting news, is what, and also the DC Cinematic Universe news, because a couple
so
trailers
much,
dropped this weekend.
So much awesomeness.
So excited about what's going on. I know at least one person in our chat isn't so much, but that's okay.
Forgive them this time.
We accept all kinds around here, even people who don't like Batman v Superman and Suicide Squad. That probably hurt a little bit, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, but we did have a couple things we wanted to mention here right up at the top before we get started. Anne-Marie,
you got to take the first one.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and take the first one. We just wanted to let you guys know we have been doing a lot of the commentaries and everything for the past couple several weeks.
You may have noticed.
I think we have almost the first 10 episodes of Gotham.
That's
commentized.
Crazy. Commentized?
I guess. Or commentarized.
Okay. Commentarized.
But we're going to be back next week for another normal episode here,
yes.
Tuesday, 8:30 p.m. EST at live.universebox.com. We're going to be talking Tim Burton's original Batman film, as well as some DC Cinematic Universe stuff with a very special guest. Now, if you might have heard of this person from, say, The 100 or Once Upon a Time.
You may have been told to pour one out for him.
Pour one out for this guy, possibly.
Possibly. Pour one out for him.
Yes, our guest is going to be the famous actor Jared Joseph, right
Yay!
Here. Yeah. And like I said, you might know him. He was Gus/Billy the Mechanic on Once Upon a Time. He played, Wilson Corvo on the show Mistresses, which I'm not familiar with, Jimmy on Wayward Pines, and Nathan Miller on the first two seasons of The 100. I guess a pretty popular character, but he came to us through our Once Upon a Time podcast.
Yes, and we basically harassed him on Twitter until he sent us a voicemail.
Yeah, and he's become sort of my Twitter buddy, and he was wanting to talk some Batman because he loves the Batman. So we're going to talk Burton's Batman, which we've been meaning to do, and
we really have for like a year,
and get a new perspective on some of the stuff we're talking about tonight too, with the DC Cinematic Universe stuff. Okay, and let's see here. This next one now. Some people have floated out the idea to us of having forums or something like that, some official sort of forums. And while I don't want to necessarily put that on our servers or anything like that. Oh wait, hold on. I put it in the wrong address here.
Did you put it in the wrong dress?
The wrong address.
Oh, makes much more sense than dresses.
But there's been some internet controversy the past couple of weeks. Reddit, which is a big social news aggregation site, and everything. They've kind of been going downhill. They've been losing a lot of people, both in the administration and users and stuff like that. A lot of people have been going over to a site called Vote, VOAT.co. And I went ahead and I claimed the Gotham subuniverse or
subverse
or forum or whatever over there. And it's at vote.co, VOAT.co /V/Gotham. And this is going to function as basically, since I'm in charge of it, I own it and everything, and Anne-Marie is going to be a mod as soon as
eventually.
We get all that figured out. This will be our de facto forums. And so we've went ahead and linked it also up at the top of the page at legendsofgotham.com.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so if you guys want to talk Gotham news or whatever.
If you have something to share, share it there.
Go ahead, sign up for an account on Vote, and we'll see you over there, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And Anne-Marie, we had one more little piece of before we get started with all the spoilers.
Spoilers! You may remember a few months ago we did a big fundraiser with the rest of our DCTV podcast friends.
I remember that.
I do too. We actually had our listeners, Bobby and Rebecca, on. And, you know, there were prizes for some of those donations that people gave us.
Definitely.
But we're having trouble getting a hold of the people who won.
Yeah.
So, Rebecca Johnson, Supergirl Radio, she was actually on our part of the fundraiser, has made a little video announcing all the winners and their prizes that we're going to play at the end of our episode. Mm-hmm. It's about 5 minutes, but it's fun. We just didn't want to squeeze it in here at the top.
Yeah, if you donated at all, go ahead and check.
You might have won some. I think she has some autographs. She mm-hmm. has some comics. There's a bunch of cool stuff, and she's like, I can't find anybody to give these to. So
Michael Lucero just jumped in the chat and said, "Is this the chat room for Legends of Dawson, my favorite Dawson's Creek podcast?" Definitely Michael Lucero.
I love Michael Lucero.
Excellent. But okay, I guess we'll go ahead and get started with the spoiler party then.
Yes.
So there was a lot of stuff going on this past week at Comic-Con at SDCC 2015. Yes. The first thing we have up, and by the way, we'll have links to all of these in the show notes at legendsofgotham.com. First up is an interview with executive producer John Stevens, who it was really cool.
A friend of the show.
Yeah, friend of the show. We're going to have him on before the season starts up. Yeah, definitely. It'll be fun to talk with him, too.
It'll be really cool to talk with him.
But he had a lot of stuff he talked about in this interview from EW. First and foremost.
Also, this is the thing you're most excited about, thing.
Yeah, is that they're going to be changing up the format a little bit of the show in the next season here. The reason we started doing the podcast for the show is because I like Batman and Anne-Marie like procedurals. So of course they're changing from a procedural format.
Let me just correct. I don't necessarily just like procedurals.
I like cop shows. Yeah.
I like cop shows. I don't watch nearly as many as I used to, but I like a good cop show.
Yeah, but John Stevens says they're moving to a more serialized format, I would say probably the Spirit of the Goat, or not the Spirit of the Goat, the Ogre three-parter.
Right.
That probably will give you a good indication of the kind of pacing and stuff they're going to be doing for this season and mm-hmm. everything. So, mm-hmm. But what were you going to say, Anne-Marie?
Exactly that.
Fair enough. So what else was in the interview here?
Let's see. He was asked, you mentioned the Killing Joke, so you'll bring in the Joker. And his response was, he's the crown jewel of the Batman villains. He will be brought in with great care and a lot of thought. Mm. So basically, they're not just throwing him in there for ratings.
Yeah.
They're really they're taking their time with this. They're going to do it right. Mm. They're not going to just put a Joker out there to put a Joker out there. There's other Jokers we don't need.
By the way, Wynn in the chat room said she's happy about the changing from serial versus the old formula. I'm kind of excited about it myself, just because that's a format that's so ingrained in comic books.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a monthly comic book, so it's obviously serialized. But as far as the Joker, I'm kind of wondering why they're still hemming and hawing about, is he the Joker? Isn't he the Joker with Jerome? Because, right. It seems pretty clear to me.
It seems very clear to pretty much everyone.
Yeah.
But I think that's laying all their cards out. That's playing their hand on the table. Mm.
Yeah.
If they're just like, no, he's the Joker now. Mm. Is it? No, it's in a later article. But they basically say they're focusing on the Joker the first half.
Yeah.
Or early episodes. So for all we know, I don't think he's going to be a focus of the whole season.
Well, see, I read somewhere, it might have been from John Stevens in another article or something, that yes, the Joker is going to be a main focus, but they're also going to be pushing up the Riddler a little bit.
I did see them kind of competing,
which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of that mentioned. Mm-hmm. We have a bazillion articles here today, so we're getting a little confused. Here, let's go for what else we have from John Stevens' interview. Yes.
By the way, I'm drinking my hooch off of the back of Maroney's truck out of this glittery Superman coffee mug that was given to me by Holy Bat Pastor. Thank you, Joe. Very much appreciated.
I'm just drinking Sam Adams Summer Ale out of a bottle because I'm classy.
Because it's a spoiler party. You have to drink
it. Because it's a spoiler party. You have to have a beverage. So let's see some other things from that article. John says, well, I will say David is without a doubt the best actor ever to play the part of Bruce Wayne, without doubt, including the people who played Batman. He is a genuine prodigy of an actor, as you will see on screen. Frankly, before David was cast, I was ambivalent about how much we would use Bruce Wayne in the series.
Oh, yeah.
That is major props for a 14-year-old boy.
Oh, definitely. And like, yeah, he's a great Bruce Wayne.
He's an amazing... And you can tell that it's a lot of acting. Sorry, I'm just going to keep cutting you off tonight.
Oh, no, it's fine.
Because anytime you see like them as a large group, he's a 14-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Like you can... I mean, he was, what, in a t-shirt and like a shirt over top. He, you know, had the boy costume on, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you see him on screen, he's polished and on point, and you know
he's that's not a character easy. Almost
but the fact that he's pulling it off so well, you don't mm-hmm. see much of that. You don't see much of David in Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Oh no, it's fine. And I definitely agree that he's definitely one of the best people to ever play Bruce Wayne, for sure. I almost, and we'll get into this a little bit later, I almost mm-hmm. think Ben Affleck might have him beat out.
Batfleck!
Ben Affleck reminded me so much of like the Batman, the animated series, Bruce Wayne in that trailer that we'll be talking about in a few.
The jaw.
Yeah.
He has the jaw.
Definitely. Definitely. But right.
Do you want to take the last one?
Yeah. And to wrap up this interview with John here, it says, one of the great things about the Batman world is the characters have no superpowers. Nobody flies or leaps over buildings. You start with psychology, and that's where we build from, which is cool. But I, at the same time, you know, there are villains in the Batman's universe that have supernatural abilities.
But maybe those aren't the ones we're exploring.
Yeah.
And if we are exploring those characters, maybe it's not actually a superpower. Maybe it's a genetic mutation from a chemical.
Mm-hmm.
They're not letting anybody... We're not having Superman, okay?
Well, I mean, they do have characters like Ivy Pepper in play, too.
But we don't know what she's doing yet. She's just shown up, been crazy, and had a twitch.
Yeah, and actually, there's another villain that they've announced that we'll get to a little bit later.
Uh-huh.
It has some supernatural abilities, too. By the way, if you're not familiar with our spoiler parties, I'd figure I'd point this out. they tend to get more spoilery as we go along. So
yeah.
And I Emery put the doc together today, and I went and checked, and it
really
ended up
being
like that. Yeah.
So. Awesome.
Our usual thing.
Okay. Yeah, another.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to introduce. Okay. Another interview that we have is IGN interviewed Ben, Robin, and Bruno while they were at Comic-Con. And we're going to have the link in the show notes, but some of the things that we pulled out from it. Robin Lord Taylor said, basically, when we...
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Turn it down a little bit.
When we pick up, Oswald's living his dream. His dream has come true, and it's so easy for him to play because having this character is basically Robin's dream come true, mm-hmm. which you can see in every interview and every interaction of him at Comic-Con. He's literally like... When you watch the Comic-Con panel, everybody walks casually, and then it's Robin Lord Taylor. He's like, I'm here!
He's so excited.
He's so excited. And he's wearing the suits with the skinny ties. Like, he is still, like, in character with slightly messier hair or something. Like, there's that little bit of Robin peeking through. You can see that it's not hard for him to play this character because he's being this character right now,
mm-hmm.
you know, without the murder.
Yeah. And I believe they also mentioned that this season's going to have more grotesque villains mm-hmm. as anarchy starts to spread throughout the city. Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We also have Jim is going to have to make a choice beyond what he thought he could do. Like, there's obviously going to continue to be the struggle for power, but Jim is going to have to make choices that are not necessarily as moral as his Boy Scout mm-hmm. persona may be or have been.
Yeah.
You know, even at his worst, we're probably gonna see something worse than that. So yeah, do you want to – I'm letting you take this last point because I have no idea who they are.
Oh, no. Go ahead and just say it, okay. and then I'll pull up some pictures.
Okay, sure. Some other – we don't have the casting, but some villains that they're bringing in are Flamingo and Firefly. Personally, it sounds like a trip to the zoo to me, but Bill's got something. You may need to cut my camera. I'm freezing a little.
Yeah, Firefly is actually pretty cool. He wears this armored suit and he has a flamethrower. I think he was he's in some versions of Batgirl's origin story.
Interesting.
And then we have the Flamingo here too, which I'm not terribly familiar with.
Is he just like in a pink suit?
Oh, actually, no. Oh. He was in Grant Morrison's run on Batman. Yeah, he's a kind of a bit of a dandy fop sort of character.
Interesting.
But he's fun, very flamboyant, like ultra flamboyant for sure. Okay, let's see here. Next up is there was around Comic-Con over the weekend. Mm-hmm. There was some posters for Gotham up, which kind of probably gives you a pretty good indication of where they're going for this season. And I'll show it here to the people watching. Yeah, it has Bruce Wayne center with everyone else behind him, the rest of the regular cast members, and then it says Rise to Destiny. And it kind of almost looks like a bat the way the picture's shaped. Which is kind of cool too.
And it has heroes on one side, villains on the other. Bruce Wayne in the middle. I saw actually another version of this somewhere online, but I couldn't find it. I was like crazy searching all over. I think it had Ben McKenzie in the Bruce Wayne spot, like had them flipped. So it was a similar setup, but I could not find it. I saw it during Comic-Con, but I couldn't find it after.
Yeah,
but I love it.
Yeah, definitely. And it's very cool that they're going to make Bruce Wayne such a focus. Like, I know some people are disappointed in that, but the Bruce Alfred stuff is what we've always loved the most about the show.
Yeah, we've really latched on to it.
But some people they have like sort of a bias against kid actors or kids storylines with kids and stuff in it. But I think he's a great actor, and I can't wait to see what he does with
it. He's an amazing actor, and really it's not like he's a 5-year-old complaining that somebody broke his crayons. So it's not exactly like a kid. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, he'd be charged as an adult for any crimes.
Yeah.
Just be honest.
Yeah, and next up here is something we'll show real quick. Is just they did a Comic-Con panel this weekend. We'll hear a little bit from Lauren Galloway, who was there.
That's so amazing.
In our feedback section in just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Oh, Bobby says in the chat room, why aren't Montoya and Allen on the poster? Because they're fools. They're fools.
No, Montoya and Allen, the showrunners.
Yeah, the showrunners.
Let us be specific on who are the fools.
They need to bring those characters back.
Seriously.
Post-haste. I know, but the thing is, because there was a big DC TV panel, and by the way, if you were at Comic-Con, you might have seen our logo on the back of some t-shirts.
Yes!
Because our DC TV pals, Andy and Lauren and a couple other people, I think, were wearing DC TV podcast group t-shirts.
So that was us.
because there was a big 20-minute panel for Supergirl and Arrow and Flash and Legends of Tomorrow, all these shows that are interconnected that we don't watch at all. Gotham only got 16 minutes.
We got cut by 4 minutes.
The short
But we
trip.
Had a super cool person at ours.
Yeah, definitely. First of all, it was Bruno Heller, Danny Cannon, the whole cast, John Stevens, and Jeff Johns.
Which made you giddy like a little schoolboy.
Yeah, who we also have some movie news for Jeff Johns coming up in a little bit. Jeff Johns, if you don't know, he's the chief creative officer DC. He's basically like the liaison guy who connects all the comic book people with all the movie and TV people to make sure everything mashes up and is totally awesome.
And goes the way it should go.
Exactly. I believe Danny Cannon had an anecdote where they sat down for like 2 or 3 days and like did like a timeline of the Batman universe to figure out what villains they could use, which they couldn't, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay. See, that's awesome. I'd like to have been a fly on that wall because I like timelines.
Yeah. I'm trying to find the thing.
Are you trying
here.
To find the thing?
Yeah, right at the end, they had someone come up and ask a question. Let's see if this will play. Oh, wait.
Nope, you're too far. It's too far. Like a minute before the end.
Without the spotlight.
Oh, there.
Thank you very much. I'm a huge fan of the show. I just wanted to start
pause for a second. Okay, so they were taking a couple questions from the audience, and you can see them right there getting all excited and pointing to a guy who's like in a bright green shirt or something, and then this happens.
It's a very bright t-shirt you have. Yeah. You could be seen without the spotlight.
Thank you very much. I'm a huge fan of the show. I just wanted to start off by saying...
Oh. My question.
Oh. There he is.
There it is.
Do we have security?
I'm a big fan of your work. Wow. Hey, how high is your pain tolerance?
Nice. Yes, Jerome himself, Cameron Monaghan. I think that's how you pronounce
Monaghan?
It. Monaghan. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Monaghan.
Yeah, but he had a surprise appearance there.
Actually think it surprised the cast too. I don't think they knew just by the way they reacted.
Uh huh.
Because they were like, ah.
again. And Ben McKenzie just jumps up on his feet and he's like, hey, stop.
I'll get you, Jerome. You have not seen the last of me.
I am the spirit of Gordon.
That's a call forward to a commentary we have coming up in a couple of weeks. We already recorded.
There was a lot of, I am the spirit of the goat.
But no, like it's worth it to go in and check out. And there was also a moment where a little boy comes up and asks a question. And the first thing he asks says to Cat Girl,
Cameron. Yes.
Spelled differently. Yes. You know, that I had this huge crush on you. And she just like blushes. And, like,
she blushes, hides, and says, thank you for supporting the show.
It was hilarious.
It was, because you can tell she actually is pretty bashful when it's not her role or her dancing or something. She's just sort of always like, hi, I'm in pretty clothes.
Yeah, she does a lot of stuff with her dancing. I'm actually subscribed to her on YouTube, and she's a fun follow on YouTube.
She's amazing.
She does like these Ask Cameron videos and stuff.
Oh, does
like
she?
That. Yeah.
I need to look at some of them. I'm entertained.
Okay. So now we have some villains coming up here that are coming up in season two. First, this guy, this weird looking guy. Who's this, Anne-Marie?
This guy is Dustin Barra. I don't ever know how to pronounce with the Y in the front. He has been cast as Robert Greenwood.
Which I don't think is a character from the show or from the comics.
Right? I'm not sure, but he's a cannibal.
Yes.
So we've got that. However, this is a far, far cry from the things that he has done in the past. Let's see. He was in Hop, the animated bunny movie.
Nice.
Ted 2. I'm not sure what Us and Them was. The Goldbergs. Mm-hmm. Californication.
I think he's a comedian.
Yeah,
so.
he has a comedian look about him.
Definitely.
So that should be interesting.
But, you know, a cannibal on season two, that'll be fun, right?
A cannibal, yes.
The cannibals. Okay, and next up here, let's see, what do we have next here? Oh, I think you're good. You're good.
I've been stuttering. You might need to
See here. Jessica Lucas, who recently wrapped up a run on Fox's Grace Point, has landed the season two role of Tabitha Gallivan, a.k.a. The Tigress. We're going to get the Tigress. Let me go ahead.
It looks like she's on the first 9 episodes, too.
Yeah, well, I think her and the guy playing her brother are kind of series regulars. Like, they're going to be constant.
They're going to be like the new fish,
you know, kind of like that boiling threat throughout the season.
They have him cast as her brother. Huh.
Yeah, but Tigress is a Batman villain. She kind of a tiger-themed female villain, assassin sort of thing.
Interesting.
What's that?
Okay, so the guy that they have cast as Theo, I'm assuming that's the brother.
Yeah, her brother is being played by James Frain.
He's also been on Agent Carter, Orphan Black, True Detective, which is why I'm a little questionable. But I mean, he's listed for 10 episodes. He must just have like smaller parts because he's on shows that are still on.
Well, True Detective is kind of an anthology show. They do one season and then they reboot the show.
Oh, it's one of those. Yeah, okay. So. I just questioned because Orphan Black. And
yeah, who do you play on Orphan Black here?
Ferdinand. I haven't watched Orphan
that
might, Black.
Oh, that's from the new season. I haven't seen the new season yet.
The question was like, why? Because new shows. Anyway. Mm-hmm. So there's that guy. Who else? We got some more casting.
Casting here.
Nope, just more statements. I think those were our only major casting statements. Let's see. Then we had this article from LatinPost.com.
Latin Post. I'm trying to pull it up here, but go ahead and talk about it a little bit.
Sure. Some things we learned from it. Definitely going to get more Lucius Fox.
Which is very good.
Good. I know actually, that made you happy.
Yeah, he's actually been tweeting that, you know, he did his first couple days of work over the past couple days, and he tweeted a picture of him and Sean Pert.
Nice. Let's see. The Joker origin will be the beginning of the season, which is what we talked about earlier. We will be getting Mr. Freeze. And we are going to get a focus on the transformation from Bruce to Bat.
Very nice.
Which is going to be fun.
That has me very excited.
Seeing as how all of the writers are down in the cave alone with their thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as Sean Pertwee said too, I think in that panel that they're calling themselves Team Good Guys.
Yes, Team Good Guys.
Team Good Guys. And it's going to be a much more adult relationship between him and Bruce too.
Good.
And more of like the partnership that we see in later in the comics and everything.
Right. Master Bruce, don't take take that hussy to that ball.
I'm very excited for Mr. Freeze, though. That's a good character. Mm. Like, that character moved Batman the Animated Series from a cartoon show about Batman to, like, it won Emmys.
Really?
Yeah. It's a very good episode.
Bear with me. The only picture in my head I have of Mr. Freeze, wasn't it Arnold?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't think I didn't actually see that movie.
Yeah.
But that's my picture is Arnold. As Mr. Freeze, and I have issues with that.
Why don't you cool off, Batman?
We should never ever.
No, wait. Have ice day, Batman. These are like actual lines from the Batman.
Have an ice day.
We'll watch it sometime. It's pretty bad.
That's awesome.
Pretty bad.
So yeah,
and we have even more bat villains coming.
The fact that this is being moved to being serial versus procedural is kind of crazy with how many villains. Like, they're not kidding when they're talking about everybody's rising.
Yeah. Well, if you were one of those people that complained that they had too many villains in season one, you're going to have more complaints in season two.
You're
going to
really be
two.
Complaining now because now we are going to have Mad Hatter and Clayface.
Two of my favorites.
Clayface and Mad Hatter are both villains we're going to bring in. They both have great backstories and great personalities. Clayface especially is a character I want to explore.
Yeah, and Clayface, there's been several different Clayfaces in the comics. The one I'm most familiar with actually is probably from Batman the Animated Series, which was adapted from the comic book origin. Basically, he's an actor who has a special makeup that will help, it makes his face malleable, so he can reshape his face. And he upsets a mobster. I think it might be Falcone even in Batman the Animated Series, and they give him too much of this stuff, and it turns him into this big gelatinous blob who can basically transform to look like anybody, and he can also use it as kind of a weapon. Like, he could shoot like the clay at you or whatever. And then Mad Hatter, he was a psychologist, I believe, who developed a mind control technology that he puts in hats. And he also had a thing for Alice in Wonderland. In the animated series, he fell in love with his secretary, I think, whose name was Alice. And in order to win her, he kind of adapted this Alice in Wonderland motif. And he's a good villain. Actually, one of my favorite, probably my favorite Batman the Animated Series episode was the Mad Hatter episode. It might have been called Perchance to Dream. I could have that wrong, but basically it just starts out, you don't know who the villain is or anything. It's just following Bruce Wayne along on his day, and then you're like, oh, his parents are alive, and he's like, what, why are my parents alive? Oh, he's engaged to Catwoman. What? I'm engaged to Catwoman. And then he's like, well, maybe I imagined the whole parents dying and everything. And then he opens up a book, and it's all a jumble of letters, and he remembers that a different side of your brain controls dreaming than controls reading. So then he realizes he's in a dream, and it's Mad Hatter who's put him there.
Interesting.
But you were about to laugh at something.
Bobby said there's a YouTube video of Arnold as Mr. Freeze signing Let It Go, and then he put in a link, and it's taking everything in my power not to click it.
I will
Wait, yeah,
just a little bit here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're frozen there, aren't you?
Yeah. No.
You're back.
I'm stuttering, so just be careful with it.
Okay.
The snow glows white on the mountain tonight. Not a footprint to be seen. A kingdom of ice.
Okay, well, we don't want to get busted by Disney, so we'll go ahead and throw that down there. But I will put that in the show notes, Bobby. That is amazing.
That is absolutely amazing. Fantastic.
I love it. I love it. Here, I'm going to go ahead and put that in the show notes.
He also said he loved Clayface from the animated series.
Yes, Clayface from the animated series is a great character. And they even said something about that too, didn't they? They said Clayface and Mad Hatter. Oh, you already read that.
I already read that. Sorry. I'm kind of like hyper and really excited about this stuff tonight. So I'm like way on top of
it. Well, it's Gotham. We haven't got to talk Gotham forever.
We really haven't because we've been trying not to talk about it to each other.
Definitely. Okay, well, you know what? We've been going for what? About half an hour?
An hour.
I think it's about time to look at this Joker. Everybody, look at this Joker. But the joke's on you. Yes, look at that Joker. This is when we look at
Jokers.
This Joker in particular. Now, we don't have any episode to cover here. Like, we've been doing the entire first season from the awkward comedian to
Laszlo
and all down through. And we tracked the Joker really hard until Cameron/Jerome showed up and we kind of
left off
a little bit. But there are a couple Jokers to look at tonight, including Jerome, because Cameron Monahan tweeted out this picture here on tweeted out through Instagram right before San Diego Comic-Con, which I'm guessing this is an official production still of a Jerome standing in front of for like a mugshot, and he's like, "Who me?" He's just like,
he's
"Shrug,
like, hi.
Who me?"
I did it.
Michael Lucero says in the chat room he wishes they'd make up some original villains. They did the ogre, which was kind of an original.
They did
villain.
The ogre. They did Fish Mooney. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we're gonna get, with how many we already have, I'm sure we're gonna get at least one or two more.
Yeah,
this
I believe we actually have an original costume villain that we're gonna get in the first couple episodes that we'll be talking about a bit later. Okay. But yeah, this picture looks pretty good. It's but I mean, it's just basic. Him just standing there, like,
Yeah,
I'm Jerome. I'm Jerome.
But then there's that other Joker.
Yes, this Joker is much more exciting, and that is Jared Leto as the Joker in Suicide Squad, which we're very excited about.
Some work, but make it bigger.
Make it bigger.
The worst of the worst.
Can I make it bigger?
Oh, I guess not.
I can't make it bigger. I guess I can zoom in here. There we go.
Oh. Hi, Cameron.
Yes, but I'm very excited for Suicide Squad. If you don't know what Suicide Squad is, it's
then you're just like me.
It's kind of a Seven Samurai or something. I think that's the right reference. But it's basically a group of DC villains that they recruit to take care of something. That something is a big question mark right now. You know, for the good guys. And they're like, if you do this good thing, we'll let you go. You don't have to be in jail anymore.
Right.
DC villains. And it includes Harley Quinn, played by Margot Robbie, I think. Will Smith is playing Deadpool. Deadshot.
Deadpool's that movie.
Yeah, Deadpool's Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
And most relevant to this conversation, Jared Leto's playing the Joker.
Harley.
Yeah, there's Harley right there doing her Cirque du Soleil thing.
So creepy sounding. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the tattooed man is also on there. Katana. The Enchantress. Okay. These are a lot of
villains.
Can you
do me a favor and point them out? Because I don't know.
Well, that was Will Smith back there.
That was
this
Will
is Harley
Smith?
Quinn. This is Killer Croc. He's a big Batman villain.
Yeah.
And there's Amanda Waller, who's in charge of the whole Suicide Squad thing.
Okay.
But no,
sorry, I just don't know any of these villains. Literally, all I know
is Harley and
Joker.
Let's go ahead and get to the good thing.
Hi.
There's that Sheila
laugh. Oh, I'm not gonna kill you.
That the joke was on me.
I'm just gonna hurt you. Really, really bad.
Yes. Super creepy.
Super amazing.
No, but I love Jared Leto. I've loved him since my so-called life days. Definitely.
Yes.
As a Jordan Catalano. And he played he played a guy who was like super charismatic and a little creepy in that too.
I know that
a lot of people are having issues with like the tattoos or the grill or whatever, but I think what's going on in Superman Batman kind of sheds some light on why the Joker's so different than you might expect from the comics. Although I will say that there's been I've been tracking this film because I'm super excited about it.
Uh-huh.
And there are a bunch of scenes with the Joker in a more traditional costume, more traditional role, probably some flashbacks and stuff like that too. So you don't really get to see it in this trailer, but like there's been some videos from the set leaked and stuff, and Leto has the physicality of the Joker down. Like it felt like watching Mark Hamill's Joker from Batman the Animated Series move around.
Right.
So I think he's going to do okay.
Our chat room, however, does not agree with us.
Oh, they don't.
They do not. Let's see. Bobby says the more he sees Leto as the Joker, the less he wants to see. His appearance makes no sense to me. Well, Bill just covered that. Wynn says, not sure I can get into Suicide Squad. Why would I root for any of these people, regardless of their task? Conflicted. Michael Lucero says, you raise a good point, though. If these villains are something Gordon and Bullock can deal with, what? Wait,
wrong one.
That went to that was
earlier.
Other things. He also says he knows nothing about Suicide Squad anyway. Mm-hmm. Bobby, the song choice reminds me of the songs from Maleficent or Avengers 2.
And I would say to win. Good point on the song, Bobby. But I would say to win as far as like why should I care about these people? I think it's just kind of a fun romp. It's a bit of a just kind of like a it's almost like a heist movie, like in Ocean's 11. Those are all bad guys, but they work so well together and they play so well together that it's fun and it's dynamic. It's a bunch of characters thrown into a situation working towards a goal, which you know is the basis for a lot of great movies.
But they really could turn on each other at any moment.
Exactly.
Type of deal.
And
also,
I think if nothing else, it's going to reveal a lot of the DC cinematic universe, even more so than Batman, Superman, because there'll be room to do so. You know, it'll reveal a lot of that texture to it. But
I also think it's kind of that... humor me. Every girl sort of has a little bad boy thing, mm-hmm. and then this is what you get with that. And I don't know, there's something even about like the women in it. Like sometimes you just want to root for the bad guy. Like you don't always want the good guy to win.
Yeah.
It's different. Mm-hmm. It's not expected. It's not Disney.
Yeah. And I will say
for lack of a better.
I will say that while the Joker and Harley's relationship is not healthy, and if you're in a relationship.
No, not by any stretch of the imagination.
If you're in a relationship that resembles it at all,
run,
get out of it immediately. But it from a dramatic perspective, it's very interesting.
Yes.
Because there's a bit of that Stockholm syndrome that we
get
a lot about. And there's also kind of that dynamic, like you were saying, like girls like bad boys, even when, you know
you shouldn't.
Crack them across the face and stuff. They still stay for some reason.
There's just something about a bad boy.
Like. And it's an interesting dynamic to address. And I'm very excited that they're kind of sticking with that in this movie because they've really been kind of as part of their whole initiative pushing their female characters to the forefront for kids and stuff, they've been kind of neutering Harley Quinn a lot. Because she's in an abusive, manipulative relationship with the Joker, but she has a very sharp edge to her, too.
Right.
I mean, there's a reason they're together. They're both
cracked.
Yeah, it's kind of like Sid and Nancy, almost, you know?
Yeah.
The punk rock duo.
The punk rock duo. Nope. I don't know what I was
going to
say.
Yeah, and Wynn says, a good point, Bill. Heist just isn't one of my favorite formulas. I agree with that, Wynn. I don't like heist movies that much, but this has comic book supervillains in it, so I'm kind of... Okay,
maybe what
fun.
It is... Okay, here's what I was going to say. This and the next trailer we're going to do, I like how dark they are, which is weird. I'm not always... I tend to like the fluffy. I tend to not like the dark. Excuse me. Stop it.
Don't you Maroni and your magic
juice. Maroni's juice. But I'm kind of liking how dark and serious. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just the fact that all the Avengers stuff is all over the place. And, you know, I tell my children to assemble. Like, it's not... it's fluffy. It feels like... I haven't seen them. Please don't, you know...
I have. You're not far off.
But that's the thing. They just feel... Even when they're having their dark scenes or whatever, I feel like we get more of a slate gray or blue shade. Like, this is what I picture.
Yeah.
Is more silvers and stuff like that. This, you are getting black. You are getting charcoal. You are getting navy. Like, you're getting the darkness. Uh-huh. You know, sorry, guys. The world's not fluffy, full of rainbows and unicorns.
Well, and yeah, that's one of the reasons I've kind of cooled off on the Marvel movies and haven't been watching them as much is because a lot of them are very morally simplistic.
Mm-hmm.
They're you know, these are the good guys, these are the bad guys, they fight, and then the good guys come out on top. But the good guys are working for the government, but they're anti-government. It's weird.
It doesn't make sense.
And also, like, I think a lot of the more recent efforts, like the original Iron Man movies and stuff, were kind of like Iron Man and the original Captain America and a couple of the other ones. They were a very kind of unique movies, and they didn't follow, like, A to B to C like you would expect. But the later efforts, like Avengers was good, but Guardians of the Galaxy felt very much like kind of like a Shrek level of plot simplicity. Like I call it Shrek with aliens. They even had like the pop song dance off with the cartoon character at the end.
You telling me that, ew.
Yeah, and you know, I just think DC is trying to. The reason I love comics into my adulthood is because I found comics that told mature stories that were at my level as I grew up. Like comics kind of grew up with me, or at least I found the comics that
grew that were more adult as you became more adult.
Yeah, and I feel like Marvel is making movies for that 14-year-old still.
The 14-year-old who can spend all the money because mommy and daddy just give it to them.
Yeah, or the 14-year-old. Who can spend all the money because they're not 14 years old anymore and they have a big boy job and they have no big expenses to kind of throw at it. DC is kind of making more superhero movies for adults. But there was something in the chat.
Bobby's yelling at me. He says, I will not let this devolve into Marvel versus DC. But if you want dark, check out Daredevil. Mm-hmm. And Wynn says, I flipped to the light side lately. I'm really excited about the new Fantastic Four as it was the comic I read as a little girl.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually, as far as like Marvel movies with Marvel characters, I'm really excited about the new Fantastic Four. Like, I think it looks really good and very much like the comics, especially Ultimate Fantastic Four. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited about X-Men Apocalypse. Too.
Really?
I saw the
I'm sorry, I've never ever heard you say I'm really excited about X-Men anything.
Well, the thing is I've never really dug the X-Men cartoons. I've never really dug the X-Men comics. Like even Grant Morrison's X-Men, I couldn't get into.
Right.
But I've always really loved the movies from Bryan Singer's first one back in 2000 on, except for X3 was pretty weak. So I'm really excited about that one too. Mm-hmm. And I was enjoying the Amazing Spider-Man movies, but obviously they're not doing those anymore.
See, okay, I enjoyed the Spider-Man movies. I liked the first Iron Man. I'm not a comic person. I'm just getting into it, and I actually was just thinking to myself, I need to have him tell me some things to watch before or to read before Suicide Squad.
Maybe first finish watching Man of Steel. You still have to do the last big battle scene. But speaking of Man of Steel, the de facto sequel to Man of Steel, I guess Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, they released a trailer for that this weekend too.
Yes.
So we'll go ahead and play that a little bit and talk about it. But yeah, we've both watched this a million times. Yeah. And I'm just so excited because, you know, you see here with the protesters at the beginning, like Superman, God hates aliens and all that kind of stuff. Like, these are themes that were introduced into the Superman comic books and have been part of some of the best Superman stories in the past 30 or 40 years, back in the 70s by a writer named Elliot S. Magan.
Batfleck.
Falling building. Running towards the building. No, but he looks just like Bruce Wayne here.
Yeah.
Like, for sure. But I'm just so excited to see these themes addressed in a Superman film because, like I said, they've been integral to the character since... It was a story in the 70s called Must There Be a Superman, where basically the Guardians, the Green Lantern's bosses, they abduct Superman, take him to Oa, and they're like, hey, you know, you're doing a lot of good work there on Earth, but don't you think you might be holding humanity back a little bit? And then they just send him back to, like, with that at the back of his mind every time he does something.
Ew.
Like, they give him a guilt complex about it.
That's just awful.
More or less. But, they're definitely dealing with those kind of themes here, and it appears that Batman... Wayne Industries building in Metropolis goes down in the final battle of Man of Steel. And so Bruce Wayne doesn't like Superman very much.
No, he knocked down his building.
Yeah, and so it seems like while the government's trying to be like, hey, Superman, let's get you on a leash or whatever, Batman's also like, hey, I should get back at that Superman guy. And then it almost seems like Lex Luthor is manipulating Batman into going into full-out war with Superman. And there's a Lex Luthor.
Lex is creepy as all heck.
Played by, I just blanked on his name. Jesse Eisenberg.
He's like, I don't know.
Yeah, and there's Zod's body in Robin's suit with the Joke's on You Batman story on it. So this is a world where Robin has been killed by the Joker.
Right.
Which is one of the reasons I was saying earlier that I think Leto's different look for the Joker makes a lot of sense because you got to remember this is the Joker in a world where he's killed Robin and received Batman's retribution.
Right.
The reason he has the grill, I'm sure Batman beat the crap out of him.
Yep.
The reason he has the tattoos, he's probably been in jail since then.
Right.
Because, you know, he killed a kid.
Yeah.
Or at least probably a teenager or something like that.
Yeah.
but I'm just very excited to, because this is basically like the neutral starting point DC comic book continuity for Batman, where, you know, Joker killed Robin, and obviously Batman.
Oh, and then we have Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Wonder Woman looks like is going to be coming in during the final battle too.
But does she have a she has a movie coming?
Yeah,
too, right?
She has a movie. Hers will be the next one after Suicide Squad, I believe.
Okay, well, Batman v Superman.
The red capes are coming.
He sounds so good, like a creepy old man. But like, Batman v Superman and Suicide Squad both come out in 2016, correct?
Yeah.
So that means Wonder Woman's 2017.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have the
I feel like I have this
here.
Awesome music going on for my head.
Yeah, I don't have the full breakdown here or anything. Fine. But you as a non-comic book fan, what did you think of the trailer overall, Amory? I know I've been sitting here geeking out for 20 minutes about it.
I'm really excited about it. Like, again, it's really dark. But, I don't know what to... I guess maybe I should have finished watching Man of Steel, but
good.
I'm excited for the Batfleck, but I've been excited for him since they announced that he was going to be Batman. Like,
yeah,
that already was there. And then the Wonder Woman is kind of cool to be pulling that in. I don't know. I just want to see where it goes. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited. And, you know, like, most of what I'm familiar with, Superman and Batman are best buddies. They hate each other, but they love each other type of deal.
Which I'm sure is where we'll get to by the end
I'm
of the
sure
movie.
That's where we get to, sure.
They'll be making out by the end of the movie. Guaranteed.
That might be excessive, but it's just such a different thing for me to see for these characters. So there's that.
Yeah, and I definitely think with the whole Robin costume, with the Joker thing and everything, I have a feeling that Leto's going to end up showing up in this movie too. Like, maybe just at the end, and maybe that'll lead into Suicide Squad.
Yeah. But do we know? Hold on, I'm trying to pull up which comes out first.
We know that Affleck is in Suicide Squad as Batman.
And we know that Joker is probably in Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah, well, there hasn't been any confirmation on that, but
they've strongly hinted that it's possible.
Plus, almost any time that Batman and Superman meet up for the first time, it's Lex Luthor and the Joker as the villains. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the Joker's going to be in the mix there somewhere.
Right.
One other thing I want to point out before we move on from this is just, I think it's very interesting that now in the comic books and in various TV movie universes and stuff, Metropolis and Gotham City have always been pretty close. A lot of times they're on opposite sides of a fictional state they make up for the comics called New Troy. But in the movies, they're going to have them like right across the bay from each other, like basically the difference between Oakland and San Francisco.
That's awesome.
Which it will provide a whole new dynamic, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And also kind of makes the whole Batman shining the bat signal up in the sky make sense, because before when they had the little teaser with it last summer, I was like, okay, well, they're just doing it to illuminate Superman or whatever in the sky. But no, I have a feeling that Batman shining up in the air to be like, hey, Supes, I'm over here on the other side of the bay. Why don't you come over and have a talk with
me? Yeah.
But he's all armored up, so I'm sure it won't just be a talk.
Probably not. Wynn says that although it looks like yet another film where the musical soundtrack is too overdriven and drowns out the dialogue. I hate that.
Yeah, that definitely does. It's very kind of epic, kind of pumping music. But I mean, that's kind of appropriate for this epic big movie too. Like, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I'm predicting this movie is going to be like, well, it's definitely going to be the highest grossing film of all time. Like, I think it might be the first film to hit $2 billion. Just because these characters are so recognizable the world over.
Yeah.
And international box office is so important these days I think it's going to do pretty good. Pretty good. So what's our next story here? Yes.
Next up.
More Batfleck. Just a little bit. They announced at Comic-Con that Ben Affleck is going to co-write, direct, and star in a solo Batman flick called The Batman, which is a fun title.
That is fun bat title. So, okay. So this is
he'll also be co-writing it with Jeff Johns from DC, by
the way.
Right,
so that's really what the squealing was about.
Yeah.
So this is, like, after the Batman movie that's already in production?
No, this is the Batman movie that's in production.
Okay.
Because there wasn't... This is the
standalone.
Yeah, this is the standalone.
Okay. See, little Anne Marie Land over here was like, okay, so there's Batman versus Superman, there's a Batman movie, then there's... another Batman movie? I don't know. Okay, now I get it. Thank you.
Yeah, it'll be sometime after 2017's Justice League Part 1.
Okay.
But they don't. I don't think they have an exact date yet. But he's going to be co-writing it with Geoff Johns. Which Geoff Johns, if you want some context, Gotham related context, Geoff Johns is the guy who wrote the Batman Earth One graphic novel, which Gotham's version of Alfred is very heavily based on. So if you had any questions about his bona fides, if you like Alfred on Gotham, you'll probably like this solo Batman.
And, I mean, we all know that Affleck actually has some writing chops, since that's sort of where he came from.
We all know that Affleck is actually Batman.
He is actually Batman, yes. With the glowing eyes and everything.
Yeah, he's been masquerading as actor Ben Affleck for years, but he's actually the Batman.
I wonder if his divorce will fuel this at all.
I don't know.
I'm just saying.
I can't speak to that.
Neither can I. I'm just speculating.
Another little fun Bat-related moment from Comic-Con, also Gotham-related moment, is that there was a meeting of Catwoman. Not much to say about it, but Cameron, Catgirl, and Julie Newmar, the original Batman 66 Catwoman, met up at Comic-Con.
And they both look great.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
They both look great.
They have the same color eyes, which is weird.
Somebody was pointing out, I was reading the comments on it, and they're like, they look related, which, so that just means, you know,
they could be casting. Like a great grandma and
which means they could bring her on for some sort of a backstory,
which means it might be true. They might be grandmother and granddaughter in real life.
No,
but I would like that for her backstory, to bring like Julie Newmar on and Michelle Pfeiffer as the mother. Ooh. Or something, like, because Cameron looks a lot like Michelle Pfeiffer too.
I've seen that, but like there's a side by side and I'm like,
yeah,
okay, this works. Like, this is the clear vision of what Catwoman looks like in all heads.
Definitely. And I'm sure some of that was intentional.
I'm sure to make that connection for everybody.
Yeah, definitely.
That's not Newmar, says Bobby.
That was Newmar.
No, it was somebody else.
Wasn't that Newmar?
No, I didn't.
That's Lee Mary. Oh, okay. Lee Merriweather. Okay.
Lies.
Yeah. So that's Lee Merriweather, who was, I believe, in the movie version, right? Hold on. Now I have to check.
No, to the Googles. Let's see what's next while you're Googling over there.
This is called me Googling.
I like that we're watching you Google too. That's the best part. I love the camera. It makes you like, it's like we're in your head.
In my head. She played Catwoman in Batman the movie. For the record. Yeah, you can see right there. Batman the movie. Sorry about that. Like, I sent the picture to the email over the weekend, and then I didn't look at it again until just now. So that's my bad for being ill-prepared and everything. But something we have up over here over on the Gotham subreddit over on Reddit, which probably going the way of the dodo, is someone went ahead and collected a bunch of videos and stuff from season 2 filming of Gotham. Like you see here, Jim can direct in traffic, yelling a little bit. Hold on, let me turn this down a little bit here. Yeah, but a little bit of Jim directing traffic. And then there was one, let's see if I can find it here, that I thought was very interesting, showcasing a villain. If you can find
the right one. Like, I didn't go through and click them all because there were so many.
Yeah, but there's just a ton.
There's like 20. This guy
like lives right by where they're doing it and everything. So he's been capturing a ton of footage. There's pictures of Jerome, like right outside of like a school bus, which looks like the same school buses they were using to take Catgirl up the river. And everything. There's a school bus right there. I'm trying to find the picture of Jerome.
Good luck.
Yeah, there's some cop cars and stuff. But yeah, and he's going to be keeping this thread updated while they're doing all the shooting. So if you want to pick that out in the show notes, that would be highly recommended if you want to keep up to date on the latest set spoilers.
Speaking of set spoilers, next up we have a shot from Danny Cannon of the cave. Well, the stairs of the cave.
Oh yes, Bobby says full frontal Googling.
Yeah,
yeah. This is from the bottom half of the cave. We've seen some of it. This was from their first day shooting in the Bat Cave, or the Thomas Wayne Cave, as the
Thomas
case
Wayne Cave,
the Wayne Cave, the Stoic Cave.
The Stoic Cave.
Oh, and there's also this video here. We thought we'd just point out to you guys real quick. It's basically it goes through and shows how they do all of the VFX on Gotham.
Which is awesome.
Which is fun. Like, all the CG kind of scenery and stuff. And, like, some of these shots I thought were
real.
yeah, we're real. Like, because they went and did like a helicopter tracking and stuff like that.
Well, that's the thing. Maybe, I mean, they're pulling real elements. They're not creating the buildings. They're just inserting them. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and obviously they aren't going to have her on top of a building.
Yeah, but it's crazy the amount of VFX works that goes that goes into almost every shot of this show. And no wonder they had to take so many breaks over the course
of the... Well, so many breaks in the fact that they started filming at the beginning of July and they don't start airing, well, that's the next thing, but until September 21st.
But, you know, they shoot the entire episode and they only have half an episode because they have to CGI everything for it. So. Okay, and last but not least, we'll go ahead and close out. They have announced the official premiere date and the official description. You want to go ahead and read those for us, Anne-Marie?
As I just said, they will be premiering on September 21st with a full 22-episode season. The official description is, the stakes are higher than ever as Gotham explores the origin stories of some of the most ambitious and depraved supervillains, including the Riddler, the Joker, and Mr. Freeze, and Bruce Wayne uncovers more secrets from his father's past. I like that we have Riddler higher billing.
There?
Higher billing, yeah.
Yeah, because based on previous interviews from the creators and everything, we were expecting the Riddler to show up in season 3 as the main threat. But no, it seems like they're kind of going to push him up to the front of the line and have him face off with the Joker for dominance in Gotham.
Good.
Which is cool.
Good. I like it.
Yeah, people are like, yeah, you can't introduce this many villains. I say the more villains, the better. Like, if we get to the season 2 finale and there's like 30 Batman villains
amassed
and Bruce Wayne and the ski mask going up against them, I'll be super happy.
Yep,
super duper happy. Okay, well, we have some feedback and stuff here in a minute, but you want to tell them about our Patreon real quick?
Yeah, Anne-Marie. Hey, we have this thing. It's called a Patreon where you can help contribute to our podcast. Mm-hmm. Currently, we are producing 3 weekly podcasts, Legends of Gotham, Greetings from Storybrook, and Universe Box, where we talk about all sorts of different stories and videos and the such.
And the things and the junk.
And you can make a monthly donation at patreon.com/universebox. You can start at 10 cents. I'm pretty sure we only need $1 to unlock our next milestone, though. So
yeah, which
that.
Is bi-weekly movie commentaries for our patrons and eventually going out as its own podcast. We're $1. We have 31 patrons. We're at $199. $200 will unlock the next level, which is the bi-weekly moving commentaries, which I'm sure we'll do some bat films.
Oh, I'm sure we will. But we also have a bunch of rewards. You know, we'll sing you a song, draw you an awful picture. We'll do a special podcast just for you.
Yeah.
There's many things we're going to be looking into buying some tchotchkes, some stickers, some little
postcards.
Stuff like that. You know, just because who doesn't like swag? I like swag. I need things like to have around me. I need to surround myself with
my things. I want
a
whole bag full of swag.
Swag?
Swag. Swag.
Swag.
Swag.
Yeah, let's try that.
Swag.
But if you'd like to support us, please go to patreon.com/universebox. And if you can't commit to a monthly donation, go ahead to our YouTube. It should be
Other side.
Over here, there should be a support this channel button where you can make a one-time donation, and that'll go towards all of our goals and milestones and things.
Yes, and we would definitely appreciate any help you could give us towards that so we can continue to grow and give you more content.
Exactly. Oh, and I know that, you know, it's been mentioned many times all over the internet in the past 24 hours. Lost, we want to do a Lost podcast. We are $101 away from hitting that Lost podcast. So,
and we have said that if we hit that goal and
it comes back down,
we're still going to do the podcast.
Yeah,
so.
It's still happening. So
if there's someone out there who really wants a Lost podcast
and has, you know, $50 to throw down at it once,
you can make it happen.
You can make it happen.
Okay, we'll wrap up here with some feedback from our listeners. As always, you can email us every week, legendsofgotham@gmail.com. Tweet us at Legends of Gotham. The Facebook is facebook.com/legendsofgotham. And the voicemail number is 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. By the way, if you have any thoughts on Tim Burton's Batman, go ahead and send them in for next week.
Oh, yeah, send those in.
On our special episode with Jared Joseph. But
And one more thing before you start playing things.
Okay.
We'll be getting a P.O. box soon. Probably in the next 2 weeks or so.
Yeah, because we've had people asking.
The whole moving thing.
We have a few voicemails here. First up, as usual, Bobby. Take it away, Bobby.
Hey, Bill and Anne-Marie, it's Bobby.
Hey.
Hey.
From the news I've been hearing, it seems like Gotham's going to double down next season on the Batman criminals. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering what you guys thought about that decision, whether it's a good idea, bad idea.
Ironically, we just went into that.
Just talked about that. It's like, Bobby,
I seem to remember that they had stated they weren't really going to go this way when the show started, but it would seem that with the popularity of certain aspects of the first season, that, you know, that's why they're going down this road. Beyond that, I was wondering what, and with all these criminals coming to town, it would seem to me they need some really good cops on the force. So where the hell are Montoya and
yes,
Montoya and Al.
Alan.
There we go. Montoya and Alan. Yes, you need the MCU in there. They're the major crime
unit. You really do need the MCU
with all these supervillains. There's going to be some major crimes going on.
Yep.
I don't know, man. Hey, we'll save that question for John Stevens.
Beyond that, I was wondering what you guys were most anticipating for season two. For me, it's either what the hell is going on with Barbara, or probably my most anticipated is the last few seconds of the last season. Mm-hmm. What the hell is going on in the Batcave? You know,
right?
Did Bruce's father have things going on in the past? Was he some sort of proto Batman? That's what I'm most excited for, and I want to hear what you guys are most excited for. Can't wait to hear your thoughts, and welcome to Orlando.
Woo-hoo. Thank you. Yeah, I don't think we mentioned that. Yeah, we are recording from our new studio in Orlando. So
here we are.
Thank you, Bobby. No, but definitely the cave is a big one for sure. What's your biggest, Amory?
I mean, there's a lot of big things. Like, I want to see the Penguin knock down a peg. Because it feels like, and this is going to sound crazy, it feels like it was too easy for him to become the King of Batman.
The King of Batman.
Stop it.
I'm the King of Gotham.
The King of Gotham. but Barbara, really, like, I know you had been like, maybe she's dead. Nope.
Girls
everywhere.
Homegirl
is everywhere.
There are pictures of her on set in like red gloves, like I believe in the same vicinity as Jerome coming off the bus.
So excited. So I kind of think Barbara. Mm-hmm.
As for me, the Bruce Wayne storyline is a big latch on for me. I'm super excited about it. But I think I'm more excited about to see how they handled Jerome.
Right.
Because it's going to be a very controversial character. Because there's a lot of people out there who just haven't been able to get past the Heath Ledger version of the Joker. They kind of have this mental... I love the Heath Ledger version, but they have this mental block that, like, there can be no other Joker. No other Joker is good enough. I'm super excited to get the origin, because I view Gotham in a lot of ways as a stylistically modern prequel to the Batman 66 series. And so I'm kind of interested to see how that... I'm imagining Jerome's origin story to be that Joker's, the Cesar Romero Joker's origin story. So I'm interested to see how that guy got put together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things, like, I'm just excited to see new takes on things too. Like, because I mean, we've had like the Killing Joke Joker origin, which has kind of been the de facto origin for 30 years, and the whole Red Hood element, which has been the de facto origin since the 40s.
Right.
And obviously they're not going to be able to do either of those, at least precisely or anything. I think it'll be very interesting to see for sure. Amory, you can go ahead and duck out there for a second.
Sorry.
If you need to.
I think I hear somebody at the door or something.
Oh, no problem. Let's see here. Next up is Lauren, who went to a San Diego Comic-Con and actually got to go to the DC TV panel at Comic-Con. So take it away, Lauren.
Hey, Legends of Gotham.
Hey.
This is Lauren Galloway from
How's
the
going,
Flash
Lauren?
Podcast. And I just wanted to call in just a quick message to say that seeing the cast of Gotham at Comic-Con was an absolute treat and a highlight. Just to see them all up on stage talking about the next season. Some notable things that happened. You can definitely tell that Alfred and young Bruce have an incredible relationship with each other on screen and off. screen.
Oh, yeah, they're buddies.
It was also great to see Ben McKenzie and hear him talking about Gordon's, kind of the rise of Detective Gordon in season two and how Bullock really has to decide if he's going to be a good guy or a bad guy. It was also great, the actor who is potentially playing the Joker, you guys may have seen this online, but he crashed the panel right in the middle of a fan question. He grabbed the mic and security had to drag him out of there. And that was nice. That was just mm-hmm. really cool to see. And the footage for season two looks great. They kept using the phrase, the season two of Gotham is Rise of the Villains. And
see, I didn't know they had footage.
There was footage?
There was footage. Grr. I don't think it's been leaked or anything.
The clip that they showed definitely looked like Tigress busting into Arkham Asylum and taking it over. So a lot of really exciting footage, great energy from the cast, great charisma, and definitely looking forward to season two.
Thank you very much, Lauren. Lauren, a constant guest over there. I believe she's an official co-host over on our sister podcast, The Flash Podcast.
How has this not leaked?
Yeah, I know.
Footage and
I'm going to play. We have a voicemail from Rebecca Johnson that I'll play, but go ahead and keep looking for that and put it in the doc if you're fine.
What's up, Legends of Gotham?
What's up?
This is Rebecca Johnson. I was just going to call in and say how surprised I was that Erin Richards looks like she was hanging out at San Diego Comic-Con mm-hmm. and promoting Gotham for season two. So I guess that answers our question about what happened to Barbara in the season finale. I guess she's okay. I guess she's going to recover from her big throwdown with Leslie. So I just wanted to know what you guys think Barbara will be doing in season two. Do you have any speculation? Looking forward to new episodes of Legends of Gotham.
She going to cut somebody.
Definitely. My personal theory is I don't think she's going to become Gotham's version of Harley Quinn. I think she's going to become the girl that makes Jerome fall in love with a girl like Harley Quinn. Like, I think she's going to be introduced to Jerome, and he's going to develop some sort of infatuation with her or something like that.
Yeah.
And she's going to become his type. And so when he meets Harley down the line, he's going to be into Harley. So you haven't found it yet?
I have found nothing.
That's a shame.
That's crazy. Okay, first of all, that's mm-hmm. the first we've heard of it.
Yeah.
Like, what's up with that?
I don't know. I'll have to talk to some people I know in the promotions department and see if we can find something on that later.
Oh, seriously? Because, like, is this the Gotham channel? Because if it is, I'm really disappointed in it. But, no, there's...
Yeah, hopefully we can find that clip, though, for sure. Mm-hmm. Okay,
sorry, let's see. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's cool.
You want me to read something?
Yeah, you want to read this letter from Troy?
Sure, this letter from Troy. All right, hi, I just discovered your show through the DC TV podcast family. Whoop, whoop. And I wanted to tell you how much I appreciate all your work. I'm a truck driver, and I have a lot of time on my hands behind the wheel, and listening to you guys talking about all the geeky things I love really helps make every trip infinitely more enjoyable. Oh, thank you.
Very much.
Thanks so much for all your hard work, your insights into the show, your critiques, insights, and theories. It's yummy candy for my brain. Fantastic. I have some speculation of my own. With the introduction of Scarecrow and Black Mask being a story told through the actions of their fathers, I wonder if somehow Bruce's origin as Batman is going to be a journey through Thomas Wayne's actions.
Yeah, I can totally see that. Not the least of which the reasons I think you're right on that is because of Geoff Johns' involvement in the inception of mm-hmm. the show. Because Geoff Johns, if you've never read any of his comics, that father-son dynamic and everything, that's something that, yeah, almost like anytime he goes into revamp a hero, he introduces that to it.
Nice.
So yeah, he's
daddy
big on
issues.
The daddy issues.
Let's see. He found the secret cave. He's learning that his father had a secret life. Lucius Fox told him that his father lived two lives. Everything we know about Thomas Wayne so far perfectly echoes what we know about an adult Batman.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Thomas Wayne, secret vigilante billionaire? I think there might be shades of Flashpoint Thomas Wayne as Batman mixed with the comics Court of Owls story. Thanks so much for everything.
Thank you, Troy.
Thank you, Troy.
And just to clarify what he means there, the Flashpoint Thomas Wayne, there was Flash went into this alternate universe.
Mm-hmm.
And in that alternate universe, Bruce Wayne mm-hmm. was the one who died in the alley that night.
Oh.
And so Thomas Wayne became Batman, kind of a more corruptible Batman.
Mm-hmm.
He basically, they own casinos mm-hmm. and everything else, and a lot of his Batmaning was protecting those casinos.
Uh-huh.
But he often faced off against the Joker, who was Martha Wayne.
Oh.
Martha Wayne was the Joker in that universe. So I could definitely see something like that. Like, I really hope they're going to make Thomas Wayne the first Batman, because that's a comic or a concept right out of the Silver Age comics. Uh-huh. And I would just love to see it in the show.
That sounds pretty cool, actually.
Definitely. But
how is there nothing here? Like, all of their comic, and I'm like, I don't care about Family Guy and Simpsons, Last Man on Earth, whatever, Bob's Burgers. I've never even heard of that.
No Gotham preview clips yet. Okay, and we'll wrap up here with this. Marco Vargas posted in the Google Plus event for tonight's episode that the new Batman vs. Superman preview is so freaking awesome. I'm so glad to finally get to see Goggles Batman in a movie.
Goggles Batman?
Yeah, they have a... no, I believe he's referencing the... Or at least it was one of my favorite parts, the Desert Batman scene.
Okay.
But he could also be referencing the armored Batman that we see.
Okay.
With the glowing eyes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it should be pretty good. Should be pretty good. Yes. Just a quick reminder, if you donated in our fundraiser a couple months back, we're going to be playing a video from Rebecca right after we wrap up here. That'll tell you if you won or not.
Right.
So you can claim your prize. But Anne-Marie, I don't think you're going to be able to find that. So
I know. I'm sorry. I'm looking away. You can find me online on Twitter at AMDSimone. And I'm over on Vote at UBAnne-Marie.
Yes. And you'll be a mod as soon as we get that figured out.
As soon as they'll let me click the link.
As for me, you can follow me on Twitter at Bill Meeks. You can follow all of the podcasts we do at universebox.com. And hey, why don't you check out my superhero stories that I wrote, Dog Boy Adventures, at dogboyadventures.com. They're prose books. You'll probably like them.
They're fun.
Actually, I've got several reviews over the past couple weeks that
really?
Mentioned that they feel like reading a comic book, which I was very happy to hear that. So
nice.
That, yeah. So it should be good. Should be good. And like I said, we'll be back next week with Jared Joseph from The 100, Once Upon a Time, Wayward Pines, Mistresses, which I've never heard of before.
Mistresses.
We'll be back talking about Tim Burton's Batman. Yes. And more about the Batman v Superman Suicide Squad combo bundle we got at Comic-Con. But I guess that about does it. Join us next time
for more Legends of Gotham.
I'll show Anne-Marie real quick so she can get back to you.
Hey everybody, it's Rebecca from Supergirl Radio, and I'm going to be doing the raffle for our DCTV podcast Cancer Research fundraiser. So for anybody who donated to our cause, the Winship Cancer Institute, your name was put in this hat. Now, this hat is actually what's called a cancer cap, and it's one that I wore. It was my favorite one that I wore during my cancer treatment when I lost my hair. So I thought it was appropriate to put all of the names in this hat. So I'm shuffling them around. So I've got a couple of things that we're going to give away. The first item is this Batman comic. It's a special 75th anniversary edition from the Batman exhibit, the Warner Brothers Studio Tour. And so I'm going to give that away, and maybe a few cool things back here as well. So the winner of the 75th anniversary Batman comic from the Warner Brothers Studio Tour is Morgan Glennon. So I don't know if you can see that. So Morgan, I'm going to send you this in the mail. So please send us your information at dctvpodcast@gmail.com. I'm going to shuffle it up a little more. We asked our friend and listener, Chris Barnes, if he would draw us some art to represent some of the shows that we covered to give away, and he sent us some cool things. He sent us this Flash, Reverse Flash artwork there. And for Arrow fans, he sent us this Oliver Queen Green Arrow. And he also sent us some cool Supergirl artwork. So, initially, I was just going to give these away as separate items, but I thought it was too cool not to give them away together, because they should go in the same collection. So, we're going to give away Chris Barnes' artwork now, And you can check him out at the mightycrispy.blogspot.ca. Check out his stuff. All right. Giving away Chris Barnes' customized art. And the winner of this is Matthew Moore. So, Matthew, if you would send us your information, your address, to dctvpodcasts@gmail.com, we will send you that cool art. I went to Walker Stalker Con and found some people who donated some autographs for us. So we're going to give those away as our last big prize. So the first autograph we're going to give away is this signed picture of Laura Vandervoort's Supergirl. So I can attest to the fact that this was signed in front of me. It is the real deal. It's not some fake signature. I actually spoke to Laura and told her about the fundraiser that we did and how proud I was of everyone who donated. All right. Shuffling it up some more. All right. The winner of the Laura Vandervoort autographed signature is Sam McDonald. Sam, please. Send us your address at dctvpodcast@gmail.com and we will send you the Laura Vandervoort autograph. The last item that I have to give away for the DCTV Podcast Cancer Research Fundraiser is this autographed picture of Oswald Cobblepot signed by Robin Lord Taylor from Fox's Gotham. So this is another one I can attest to speaking with Robin, telling him about the fundraiser. And so this is the real deal. So we're going to give this away. All right. Shaking up the cancer cap. Shuffling it up. All right. Last winner for the Robin Lord Taylor autograph is Michael Poteet. Michael, please send us your information, your address at dctvpodcasts@gmail.com. And I will send you this Robin Lord Taylor autograph. Well, guys, that's it. That's what we've got to give away for our raffle. Thank you so much for donating. And I am so excited for you guys to get these items. And maybe we can do it again sometime.